Welcome to the SPE Podcast, powered by the Society of Petroleum Engineers. You're listening to SPE Live, Fostering Future Leaders, the Impact of Mentorship on Women in Leadership. The audio from this episode was previously recorded on March 25th, 2024. And now your moderator, Meral Tofik.
Welcome to this SPE Live, Fostering Future Leaders, the Impact of Mentorship on Women in Leadership. My name is Meral Tofik, and I'm a lead reservoir engineer at Chevron. I will be your moderator today. Today's SPE Live will last 30 minutes. We encourage you to ask questions throughout the event. It's now my pleasure to introduce our guests, Selena Hioja, who is a diversity and inclusion professional specialized in gender diversity. Her consulting firm, Selly Hioja, advises and works hand-in-hand with organizations in the process of cultural change involving a diversity and inclusion perspective. She has worked for 15 years in energy companies and in the National Ministry of Energy and Mining. Selena is a mentor and champion of Vital Voices in the Nokan province, an international NGO that fosters the social, political, and economic empowerment of women. Selena has a degree in human resources, is a certified business coach, and has also postgraduate degrees in strategic organizational communication, diversity, and gender. Emily Firth is the Europe market and business analyst at Halliburton and is passionate about staff development and mentoring. As Global Mentoring Chair for Halliburton's Women Chairing Excellence Employee Resource Group, Emily advocates for the importance of mentoring, technical and soft skill enhancement, and matches mentee and mentor pairings globally to increase learning opportunities for staff. With a master's degree in geology and experience as a frontline leader, Emily is versed in motivating technical talent to consider their personal strengths and aspirations and align personal growth with organizational needs. Selena and Emily, welcome to this SPE Live.
Thanks for having us today.
Thank you.
First, I would like to start off with you, Selena. Can you share your thoughts about why it is important to promote inclusion and foster women leadership?
Yes, of course. Good morning, Miral. Well, promoting inclusion and diversity have become a must in the business world because it is a request from society, from employees, from investors, stakeholders in general. Also, this agenda is a fundamental part of the ESG agenda, and mostly nobody is challenging anymore the value added by having a diversity and inclusion culture, which benefits go from fostering innovation and creativity, improving employee engagement and retention, helping to attract top talent, and to delivering better business results. Also, there are several papers that evidence that companies that have women in leadership positions perform better than those which don't.
Great. How about you, Emily? Through your work with Halliburton, do you witness any measurable positive effects of targeted women mentorship?
Yes. So I wonder if people have heard of the dream gap. So it's the gap that comes between girls and their full potential. So from age 5, girls stop believing that they can be scientists, engineers, and CEOs. And from age 7, girls are more likely to believe that boys are smarter, 3 times less likely to be given a science-related toy, and parents are twice as likely to Google, is my son gifted, rather than is my daughter gifted? And that's a sad state of affair. We need to see brilliant women being brilliant and see how they got to where they are so we can imagine ourselves doing what they do. And that can't happen alone. It requires the support of each other, our mentors, our managers, and company leadership. It is up to all of us to close that dream gap. So that example is specific to children, but all the, you know, the experience that has shaped the understanding of many professional women navigating career ladders today will be the same. Representation and seeing yourself really matters. And in April last year, Bloomberg announced that the number of women CEOs finally outnumbered the male ones, specifically called John. So progress is being made, but we still have a long way to go. So at Halliburton, inclusion is part of our culture and our corporate strategy to attract diverse talent. Diversity and inclusion fosters creativity, innovation, and diversity of thought. and studies that Selena alluded to really show us that diversity can help your team become more agile and better equipped to pivot and adapt as necessary to remain competitive. And you asked about measurable effects there. Companies with representation of women exceeding 30% and thus in the top quartile are significantly more likely to financially outperform those with 30% or fewer. So beyond being the right thing to do, there are strategic reasons to support diversity and inclusion.
Very interesting. Yes. And Selena, in our efforts to tailor those mentorship programs to women, what unique challenges do women face in our industry and how can those mentoring programs address those challenges?
Okay. Women in the workplace in general face different challenges than men. These challenges are the well-known glass ceiling, the unconscious biases, the maternity tax, the gender pay gap, and we are more prone to be victims or to suffer situations of harassment or discrimination. In fact, there is a study that shows that in male-dominated industry, such as energy, women are more likely to suffer this kind of abuse or situations. So mentoring programs can help to reduce the impact of this barrier as long as they acknowledge they exist. And also, it's very important to mention that most of the time, women, we go through all these situations alone, and maybe thinking that we are the problem or we have a problem when actually it's a systemic or structural issue. So through mentoring programs, we can support each other and foster a support network to overcome these barriers.
Yeah, and Emily, through your experience with the WISE program at Halliburton, do you have anything to add to those challenges?
So we still see that the oil and gas industry remains a very male-dominated space, and particularly when we consider our field-based roles and leadership roles. So to create a more inclusive workplace, companies must consider the needs of pregnant women, women with families, and women who serve as primary caregivers. So work environments need to be adapted for pregnant women and companies that offer sort of childcare benefits and services and benefits that benefit all employees. So there are initiatives and mentoring programs that can help to the companies address these sort of gender gaps and to sort of demonstrate how some of these challenges are still present. Sort of wanted to share an example from a 2012 study completed by Moss Rasmussen et al., where they sent identical applications to multiple institutions to have them assess the talent. So the only difference between these applications was the name on the applicant. Some of them were submitted underneath the name John, and some of them were submitted underneath the name Jennifer. And so that allowed the reviewers to sort of only assess them being different for the gender. So the feedback showed that the likelihood of hiring the candidate was 18% lower when the applicant had a female name, and institutions were 12% less likely to mentor that female and wanted to offer them 13% less with regards to the salary compared to that male counterpart. And remember that all of the education, the experience, and the skills mentioned on these CVs were completely the same, only that name varied. So we still see that biases continue to play out in our workplaces, with women being called upon to perhaps take notes during meetings or asked to organize events or purchase gifts for colleagues. And, you know, I personally know women who don't take pens to meetings anymore to avoid being asked to be the note taker. So we see that mentoring really helps to address some of these challenges and those biases through support. So employees know that they're not alone in the challenges that they face, and they learn how others have navigated perhaps, you know, returning to work or as a new mother, managing that sort of work-life balance with family. And that's really important, particularly for those field-based employees.
Yeah, wow. Very, very eye-opening study there. I think one important aspect here when creating those programs is to first understand what the key skills and competencies that the mentorship program should focus on to help women advance in those leadership roles. So Emily, what key skills do you think are most important in this context?
So first and foremost, I would recommend play to your strengths. Women possess a wide range of professional and leadership skills that are highly desirable to companies. So this is slightly sort of stereotyping here, partially. I hope you'll forgive me, but there are some sort of main examples that I would like to pull out that we see are quite typical within women sort of talent. First and foremost, it's understanding your audience and being able to communicate with them effectively. We also see a lot of examples from women where they're very natural in leading by example. And this is sort of embodying the attributes that you want to see in others. We often see as well that managing people and behavior, and you know, part of this ties into emotional intelligence, empathy, integrity, and doing all of that in a sort of inspirational and collaborative way. And partly also being strategic and flexible about long-term and short-term goals and adjusting those as necessary. So it's, you know, hearing the updated sort of project plans or the new information that has come in and seeing how the impact of that will have immediate effects, but also for your longer-term planning and being able to adjust that accordingly to the needs of both time periods. And lastly here, I think one thing that we see really strongly within our talent, and we want to in further that for sort of particularly in leadership roles, is the ability to listen and respond. And that's not just listening to respond, but really being thoughtful about the response or taking in the situation and being able to have the discussion appropriate to that you know, particular topic. So we build our mentoring programs to enable these and other skills and competencies. So we select mentors of a high caliber that are able to sort of impress the importance of sharing their experiences and their career journeys and what they learned along the way, and help their mentees to uncover their strengths and perhaps identify what areas that they need to make further improvements to. And we do this through, you know, providing resources. I always find that personality and skill assessments are really useful for uncovering these if you haven't really considered what your strengths are first. And then our mentorship sort of helps provide support for that as they continue through that journey to sort of strengthen on those skills.
Great. How about you, Selena? Anything to add to this?
Yes, I absolutely agree what Emily said. And just to add some information in general, when we talk about leadership or development programs, we speak of two main aspects. Number one, self-knowledge, and number two, relational skills. And if we talk about specific skills, women, we have space to improve in negotiation, public speaking, building and managing influential and professional networks.
Great. So now we talked about the challenges and we talked about how to create those programs to best serve women. I guess, Selena, can you also share examples of mentorship success stories where women have progressed to significant leadership positions in our industry?
Yeah. Well, there are many examples of the positive impact of these mentor programs, and I would like to mention that a mentoring program brings benefits from mentee, from mentors, and for the whole organization as well. One example that comes to my mind, in which a person was able to be seen by managers, senior managers from other departments, and she was offered a promotion in a position she was willing to be, or other instances in which, through the stories and experiences shared by the mentor, the mentee was able to see things from other perspectives and come up with some new ideas that she shouldn't have thought about before.
Great. How about you, Emily? Any specific examples of success stories you would like to mention?
So one case that stands out to me is when we launched one of our product service lines within the Europe area. So we did not initially have any operations there. So we were starting from the ground up with hiring, securing the facilities, everything that we would need. So at that time, no one on that team spoke German, and that was a requirement for this. So coincidentally, the VP of the product service line that was trying to set this up was paired with a female candidate on our leadership career path, who mentioned just in passing that she was from Germany and was fluent in the language during one of their mentoring sessions. So from that, the VP asked if she would like to work at the new facility, and that conversation helped her advance into a leadership role. So in a matter of months, she completed the country manager boot camp and started her new role in Europe. So, you know, prime example of just how that wouldn't have happened had they not been in that pairing relationship together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Emily, based on your work in the WISE program, are there any best practices or lessons learned from implementing this mentoring program that our audience can apply to their own mentoring programs?
Yes. So the mentoring program that I'm currently involved in has been running for more than 20 years. So we have a lot of experience with managing those sort of mentorship journeys. And one of the most common hurdles we see and why people may not think that a mentorship program is successful is because they haven't considered what they want to get from it. You know, you really do have to set yourself up for success. So identify and choose the skills that you want to be developed. So a couple of things that you can think about to sort of help you get your mind in gear for that. What skills do I need to achieve my objectives? What is my current level of mastery in these skills? And how do I develop them? And we encourage all of our mentees to focus on SMART objectives. And SMART there is an acronym standing for S being specific. So in this, we try and answer the sort of 5W questions. So what do I want to accomplish? Why is this goal important? Who is involved? Where is it located? And which resources or limits are involved in that? For M, we move to measurable. So a measurable goal should address questions such as how much, how many, and how will I know when it's accomplished? And that's really important because we need to make sure that our mentor and pairings have a sense of achievement through this program and feel like they're getting something. And that's very hard to do if you don't know what you're aiming for or when you can consider it completed. So A in SMART is for achievable. So it needs to be realistic and attainable. We want it to stretch your goals, but we want it to remain within the realms of possibility. For R, we want it to be relevant. So this is ensuring that that goal matters to you and it aligns with the other goals you're trying to achieve. So, you know, is it worthwhile? Is it the right time? And does it match our other efforts? And again, part of that is just to ensure that you are setting yourself up for success. We don't want to dissuade you from taking on a sort of extra sort of tangent goals or skills, but you will have much more success if you can tie in your goals into what you might be doing in your current day-to-day job or focus it in those sort of skill sets that you already have. And the final one there is T for timely. So this is the fact that every goal needs to have a target date so that you have a deadline to focus on. So we just like to make sure that when our mentee pairings are setting their objectives, that they are time bound. Again, just to make sure that they have that ability to come back, reflect on them and decide if they have achieved that or not.
Great. How about you, Selena, through your work with different organizations, what kinds of best practices and lessons learned would you like to share?
Yeah, in my opinion, a good practice is at the beginning, look at the at your organization, at your employees, so you can identify where and what are the real needs. Other good practices is to properly structure the program to guarantee at least 5 or 6 meetings between mentee and mentor, share guides, forms, presentations, do a follow-up and support the participants during the program is also very important.
Great. Yeah, so as you both can probably imagine or attest to, those types of mentoring programs can be met with some potential resistance or skepticism. So what strategies would be effective to overcome those? Maybe Selena, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, women represent, only the 24% of the total workforce in the energy industry and in leadership positions, 19. So in this context, I think that, taking into consideration this context and that the barriers we mentioned before exist, we need to make them visible and commit employees to take action to reduce their impact. Mentoring should fit in a greater D&I or development strategy. It's a great tool that it can generate a positive impact if it's a part of a bigger program with support of the senior management. And also it's important to show a positive aspect of mentorship that it helps generate role models for other women in the organization. So this is important too. More junior female members of the team can see that it's possible to reach leadership positions. And for those, okay. No.
Yeah, Emily, so what strategies do you think can be implemented to overcome skepticism or resistance?
So I think one thing we touched on earlier was sort of tackling unconscious bias. And actually, there's a lot of different training programs available that sort of tackle that topic. You know, and part of that is breaking down the value on why we need to be aware of them, sort of getting over some preconceived ideas that people have that they might not have any biases themselves, you know, and that's not true. It's our natural way to sort of be able to process the world around us. We just need to make sure that we are conscious of our unconscious biases and how they might be affecting the decision making or the feelings that we might have towards such mentoring programs, such as when people have a bit of skepticism towards them. So we are trying to champion that at the minute within Halliburton and try to make sure that that training is completed by as many people as we possibly can. And, you know, it's not just our mentees who need to be sort of aware of that. It's our mentors as well. We need that to happen at all levels across all different roles as well. And another strategy I would really say is very effective is awareness campaigns. And as part of that, really celebrating the success stories that we have, and not just when it's International Women's Day or perhaps a sort of a day of celebration that would be deemed as appropriate, right? We want to make sure that we are having regular communication from all different levels of leadership across our organizations so that people can see the value of talking about such programs, the value that these programs bring to individuals and to the company, and how we can sort of break down some of those, again, some of those perhaps biases of that women can't be seen in those leadership roles and sort of eliminate the hurdles for them to get there.
Yeah, great. We'll expand a little bit on one last part that you mentioned at the end. What value can we get out of those programs and making sure that this is visible? So how can companies measure the success and impact of their mentoring programs in advancing women into leadership roles? Emily, sorry.
No problem. So the first assessment, I would say, of a successful program is the feedback that we receive and the awareness of that scheme spreading. So in our women's group mentoring program, we had 6 times more applicants to our 2024 pairings than we had in the previous year. But that does, you know, bring us challenges as well. As that program has expanded, we need to introduce sort of more detailed application forms so that we can move from coordinator matching, which was quite time consuming and often required personal awareness of each participant, to a sort of more automated matching based on the areas of interest and the mentor's strengths. So we're going to be checking in with our mentoring pairings throughout the year to make sure that we're continuing to receive the feedback from them and can sort of assess and make changes to that program as we need to, as we go through. In certain cases, we can be a little bit more insightful in measuring the success by tracking the roles, the role changes of our mentor pairings. So, for example, we have a mentorship program where female employees are paired with executive leaders to help prepare them for country manager roles. So we can reflect on how many of those mentees now hold that position and what was successful in those pairings that we can re-replicate or look to sort of set up again for future people and continue to build on that success.
Absolutely. Selena, what kind of measures or metrics should we track to understand the success of this mentoring program?
Yes, adding of what Emily said, also KPIs can be established to measure, for example, number of promotions, number of women in leadership positions, female turnover, and include some questions related to D&I in the work environment surveys.
That's great. So, how do these mentorship initiatives contribute to breaking down gender barriers and promoting a more inclusive culture in a company? Maybe Selena, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think that it's about what we've been talking now. As I say, first of all, it's taking into consideration that these barriers exist. We need to make them visible and take action to reduce their impact. Yes, and as Emily said, you can make campaigns and to train the people to understand that this is not a matter of opinion, but it's a fact.
Yeah, and Emily?
So in my mind, one of the most valuable factors of mentorship is the sharing of different perspectives. So considering challenges from an alternative point of view, really, you know, strengthening empathy and awareness of how the same situation can affect people differently depending on their prior experiences or their current emotional state. So to give an example, at Halliburton, we start all of our meetings with a safety or a value moment. So this is a quick discussion on a topic to share awareness that everyone can learn from. And in a recent training course regarding business acumen, I noticed that the trainer was using male-only examples when speaking about customers or decision makers and, you know, the business development employees, all using the he, him pronoun. So I shared a value moment there on the importance of gender inclusive language. And it was a really great way to open up that conversation about more inclusive language that could be used instead. And I mean, how many people on this session now have been in a group of people, including women and perhaps even non-binary employees, and been addressed to with "morning, gents"? And we can so simply change that to "good morning, team" or "good morning, folk." Something that is a lot more inclusive of the audience that you can see. So in the examples of that training, for when we're talking to about the customer, we can just refer to them as the client or they, instead of having to use he or him. And the effect of using that male-only language just wasn't something that they had personally ever considered. But after sharing the perspective that women need to be included in that conversation, they made the changes to the training course. And I think that that was a really positive way that we saw that by having that little moment of mentorship, sort of opening up a bit of vulnerability and ability to have that conversation really benefited everyone in that situation.
Absolutely. And I guess what one thing we need to talk about is what role can male mentors play in supporting the professional development of women in our industry? So, Emily?
Yes. So at Halliburton, all employee resource groups are open to all employees. So within our women's group, we actively encourage men to get educated, to ask questions, and learn to become better allies. And we foster that safe space for people to ask questions and better understand other people's perspectives. So in terms of what role male mentors specifically can play in supporting the development of women, we want to see them supporting initiatives that focus on women employees and follow through on those actions. We want them to be conscious about hiring women, building teams that include women, and inviting women to the table. As you know, as we opened up this conversation, we talked about the strengths of having diverse teams and diverse thoughts in the room, and that shows us actually a strategic benefit to the company as well. We want our male role models to be advocates for women and not just when they are in the room, but, you know, discussing them in the meantime, you know, pulling up their name when people are looking for, you know, people who are interested in other career opportunities or to get involved in projects. And we want to see men included on panels and at events that relate to women's issues. We want to see that active allyship. So, you know, recent example, we recently celebrated International Women's Day. We want to see them involved in those discussions, championing those success stories that we've seen and celebrating with their team. Because I think that that really shows that that topic is important to them as well. And it's not just, you know, lip service to the company. They're really trying to make sure that this is a change that is actively happening.
Absolutely. Selena?
Yeah, well, I share Emily's opinion. I think we need to male mentors being allies, and their participation is key and add value, and it's important that they take this perspective of we face different challenges. For me, it's important that they are willing to participate and they are willing to drive and be a part of this change.
Very well said. Great. So thank you so much, Emily and Selena, for such great insights that you shared with us today. And thank you to our audience for the questions and comments that I'm sure Selena and Emily will address after the live. And see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the SPE Live podcast. For more content, visit the SPE Energy Stream, the industry's digital pulse, at streaming.spe.org. If you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and review. Join us next time on the SPE Live podcast.